Thank you for joining us on this freezing morning. It is so cold here. Thank you for coming back. But if it's your first time, then welcome. And head on over to our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr, so far. And we always have updates going up, so updates on any cases we've covered, on any cases we are going to cover, and even the ones that we aren't covering, when there's latest news, we definitely make sure we share them. Also, I'd like to invite you all to head over to those pages so that you can... Well, we wish to invite you to come over to the pages so you, if there's a case that you would really like covered further and you haven't been able to find a lot on it, drop us a line over at f.truecrime.com, I think it is, or an AU, I'm not sure. But I am more active on our social media pages. So f.truecrime on Facebook, EFFED, is definitely a place where I hang out a fair bit. And there's options to be able to make a comment and to put up posts. So I invite all of you to, yeah, go on there and just let us know. I've got a list that I am getting, well, it's quite a big list, but everybody's been so kind. And have even friend requested me at KL Lee Author. I always accept. So if you want to hit up a friend request, on the profile picture is the FL True Crime logo that we had made. So yeah, just go over there. I always accept. Especially if you're a true crime junkie, as I am. Yeah, like I said, if there's any specific cases, please let us know and we'll cover it. I would love to cover the JonBenet Ramsey case, but I'm not sure. I've had a lot of readers say and fans say that it should be, that I should cover it, but I'm always worried because there's just so many podcasts and that out there on that case. So I don't know. I don't want to bore anyone, if that makes sense. I don't want to bore anyone. But when it comes to cases like that, I do try to dig for information that hasn't come out so that it makes it a little bit more interesting. And I like to get people involved, so that's cool. Now, I've got a case which I've been telling you about for about 2 weeks now. It was supposed to be done a week ago. Then I had the heart attack. And it's just such a big case that I want to take my time covering it. I am actually writing a book on the Taylor McAllister murder case. And there I will actually be speaking to people that were accused of dumping her body in the back of an alley in December 2016. Huge case that never really saw the light of day. And you wouldn't believe this police department, you really wouldn't. It's in Florida. And we'll have more information on that as it leads up. Also, in just under 2 weeks, my very first true crime book will be out, called Mummy, I Thought You Loved Me. Not just to do with mothers, it's basically children that have abuse in one way or another, or even murdered by people that were entrusted with their care. So it's a tough one, but you know, it needs to be covered. I like to think that we could maybe reach someone that's doing something that they shouldn't be, and for them to recognize what they're doing and go, oh, maybe I need some help. It's a long shot, I know it is, but you, if it's not put out there, then I mean, we're never going to get through to anyone, are we? So yeah. Now, in lieu of hearing about Mary-Kate Letourneau's passing of colon cancer, I figured we should cover a few similar cases to that. Not as a, like, tribute or anything, because the woman was, wow, that's a case we have to go over, guys. There was so much wrongness, and there was an interview that I dug up yesterday and I couldn't believe it. She actually blamed Billy for the 12, 13 year old boy at the time for their entanglement, if you want to call it that. I couldn't believe it. So, but I will do a quick recap of the story now, but I'm not going to do a long one today, for not on her anyway. So, I found 500 cases of female teachers having sex with their underage students. 500 cases of female predators. Could not believe it. So, Mary Kate Letourneau, who passed away on July 6th, so 10 days ago now, 2020, was an American school teacher who pled guilty in 1997 to two counts of felony second-degree rape of a child, Billy Folau. He was 12 at the time and had been her sixth grade student. She met him when he was 8, and she was still in her 30s, and luckily, she didn't touch him for another 4 years. Actually, is that even luckily? No. While awaiting sentencing, she actually gave birth to Billy's child, with the state seeking a 6.5 year prison sentence. She eventually reached a plea deal, which would give her 6 months in prison with 3 months suspended under the condition that she had no contact with Billy for life. And there were other, among other terms that were thrown in. The case received national attention, which I'm a little bit surprised of now. Maybe because they had a baby together, it was such a big case, but I can't believe there's 500 of them. And I haven't heard about a lot of these, and I'm a real true crime like freak. So, anyway. Shortly after spending 3 months in jail, the police caught Letourneau in the car with Billy one night. A judge revoked her plea agreement and reinstated the prison sentence for the maximum allowed by law, which was 7.5 years. But by 8 months later, by the time that this trial has taken place, she gave birth to Billy's second child, both daughters. Gorgeous girls, really gorgeous. She was in prison from 1998 to 2004. Letourneau and Billy were married in May of 2005. The marriage lasted 14 years. To my surprise, I didn't even know that they'd split up last year, so in 2019. I'm really out of the loop these days. My goodness, I need to dig myself back in there just so I've got stuff to bring you guys. Letourneau died, as I said, of colon cancer only 10 days ago now. And she did have several months of treatment. Some people are saying that it's karma, which I don't know, it could be. They said that about my father though. My father would sleep with anything on two legs. And when he finally left us, he passed away 12 years later of cancer, and it was really hideous cancer. It was really bad. And basically my mother thinks that it was his karma, but he was miserable. He was miserable with her. Now, we'll delve further into a case that's actually developing literally as we speak.
Welcome back. A Western Sydney teacher who's accused of sexually assaulting a 14-year-old student will stay behind bars after her bail application was refused. The prosecutor argued that Monica Young had already attempted to interfere with witnesses. Security video from the school will form part of the case against her, allegedly showing instances of contact between the 23-year-old and the boy.
Elizabeth Young, who is 23 years old, a teacher in Sydney, Australia, is accused of sexually assaulting a student at a Sydney school, and she's only 6 weeks away from marrying her boyfriend of 6 years. To my surprise, he's standing by her. I couldn't believe it when I read it this morning. He is going to back her up. Young was arrested at her Sydney home on July 10th, so just 6 days ago. And when she was arrested, her electronic devices were seized. Young did not apply for bail when she fronted the Parramatta court on midday last Saturday via video link. But it was well known that she wouldn't receive bail because she posed such a risk. Now, Monica Young, 23, was denied bail on Monday by the Bankstown local court magistrate, who raised concerns she would interfere with witnesses if she were to be released. It came out that Young sent Snapchat messages asking the boy to send her explicit photos. That came out in court on Monday, I believe. Young is charged with 10 offences, including multiple counts of aggravated sexual intercourse with a child between the ages of 14 and 16. From what I've heard, he was actually 14. But it's a new case, so a lot of things could come out and a lot of things could be misinformation. Many of the charges related to incidents alleged to have occurred during school hours between June 24th and July 3rd. But the other court documents are saying that it went for over a month. So I guess that'll come out as well. Young was also charged with 2 counts of intentionally sexually touching a child, intentionally inciting a child to sexually touch her, and 2 other related offences. The teenage student was allegedly assaulted on and off school property over the course of a month, though it has not been confirmed if the student was a pupil of the teacher's. So we don't know if he was actually in her classes or if he was actually being taught by her. Now, this investigation was actually quite fast acting because they launched the investigation at the start of last week and she was arrested on Saturday. So it was only a few days where they were able to get what they needed. And yeah, arrested and taken to court Saturday. Arrested Friday, taken to court Saturday. It's understood that the investigation was sparked when the 14-year-old student made the allegations. Young is also accused of sexually assaulting the teenager on 5 other occasions at locations associated with the school, but not at the school. Magistrate Karen Robinson on Saturday ordered the names of any witnesses, potential witnesses, and the name of the school to not be published. She did not, however, order Young's name to be suppressed despite an application from Young's defense lawyer. I'm guessing they're making an example out of her, because it's not every day that you hear in Australia that a woman has sexually assaulted a minor. Young remained silent throughout the hearing, speaking only to confirm that she could hear proceedings via video link and to confirm her name when directly asked by the magistrate. "No worries, thank you," she replied after being told her matter was adjourned until Monday, this Monday, Bankstown Court. Young's phone and computer were seized so that detectives could establish when communication was made between her and the teenager. Her car was also seized as part of the investigations. I have heard, like I said, don't quote me, I have heard that a lot happened in that car. This is a very quick response we have taken in relation to this matter of very serious allegations, Detective Acting Superintendent Michael Haddo said following Young's arrest. With the number of online communication applications increasing, isn't it? honest to goodness, I don't know how to use Snapchat, or my son was telling me about TikTok. If it wasn't for my kids, I probably wouldn't even know what these things were. It is very important to reaffirm the dangers associated with online conversations, the detective said in a statement. If children encounter something or someone they are not comfortable with, we encourage them to speak to a person of trust and they can let investigators know. It's so important though. It's so important to have that open door policy. It's always worked for me. It's better to be safe than sorry. Now, the New South Wales Department of Education said in a statement it was aware of an alleged incident involving a staff member. The safety and well-being of students is the number one priority of the department. The department is aware of an alleged incident involving an employee and said, as police are investigating this matter, it is not appropriate for us to comment. Fair enough. It's also alleged that Young tried to interfere with the investigation as soon as she found out that there was an investigation taking place. She actually tried contacting the child's mother to explain her actions. I mean, how do you explain her? I'd love to have heard that conversation, let me tell you. I'm hoping it comes up in court because I really, really, really like to hear it. Magistrate Glenn Walsh said that according to the facts before him, Young learned about the existence of the police investigation and then she tried to get around it. She tried to get out of it. The magistrate said Young allegedly did that firstly by representing herself as a different Snapchat user. And secondly, as just stated, attempting to contact the mother of the complaint, oh my goodness, and try and explain away the circumstances of her conduct. Misconduct. Young had no criminal record, none that I can find. She also offered a $50,000 surety and that she would stay with her grandmother. So it must be a little way away. It's the only way I can figure it. But the magistrate said Young's alleged behavior raises significant bail concerns of interference of witnesses and formally refused her liberty. The matter will be brought before the courts again in August, and believe you me, I will keep you up to date. So the second case we have is a woman by the name of Jessica Streeper, who was 33 at the time.
Happening today, a preliminary hearing is scheduled for a teacher at a Montgomery County middle school who is accused of having sex with a student. Jessica Streeper is facing charges of sexual assault and corruption of minors. She was arrested last month after the Norristown Police Department received an anonymous tip. Authorities say Streeper had sex with a 14-year-old student on several occasions. They say the incidents occurred in Streeper's car and in her Doylestown home.
Streeper was a teacher in Norristown Area School District in the USA, so we're over in America now. Prosecutors said in a criminal complaint that an 8th grade student told them he had sex with Streeper in her car throughout spring. When the victim, because it's all gone through, then age 14, was interviewed by the detectives, he admitted to having sex with Jessica on 7 occasions, including 5 times in her car. They like the car, don't they? When investigators checked the teenager's cell phone, they found numerous sexts that were exchanged between the married teacher and her underage lover. Really annoys me when there's parents, you know, female parent, could you imagine? According to the criminal complaint, the illicit affairs lasted between April 1st and May 20th, 2014. Sorry, it was 2014, not 2013, as I stated. Screwed up there, sorry. Supported by church members who called her repentant and contrite, the former 8th grade teacher saw her pleas for probation rejected and learned she was headed to jail.
This is Mrs. Streeper, any comment about the sentence?
No, thank you.
Any comment about the sentence, Mrs. Streeper?
Keep your hands off the camera, please.
Any comment, Mrs. Streeper?
God will be praised and God will be glorified for all this. In Jesus' name.
Judge said, I know about redemption, I know about faith. There's a lot of pain in this case that I can't heal. You knew it was wrong. Who does that to a 14-year-old? No good in my book. There has to be some consequences. Montgomery County Judge Garrett D. Page said, as Jessica was sentenced to 9 to 23 months in the county jail, followed by 5 years probation and 100 hours of community service. That's not a lot, is it? If you think about it. Jessica pleaded guilty to a felony charge and sexual intercourse in connection with her contact with the teenage boy. And she appeared emotional as the sentence was imposed. Her husband wept at the thought of his wife, a mother of two small children, going to jail. Do you really defend? What's with these guys and defending these women? While the judge rejected pleas from her for a probationary sentence, he also rejected a prosecutor's request for a 4 to 8 year state prison term, which was the standard sentence recommended under state sentencing guidelines at that time. Page, putting his reasons on the record for imposing a county sentence, said the guidelines do not factor in transformation, restoration, and healing through spiritual growth. But the judge can factor it in. A state sentence is not warranted, said Page. Fair enough. Well, not fair enough, but yeah. Jessica, a former teacher of the middle school, hid her face from the glare of reporters' cameras as she left the courtroom protected and consoled by church members. Have some decency, you are pathetic, her husband bellowed at reporters at one point. Why should they have decency when she didn't have decency? In court, she apologized to the boy's family and to her former colleagues. If I could change what happened and what I did, believe me, I would. I should have known better. Adding that she has been in counseling. Jessica is no longer teaching and will have to report her address to state police for the rest of her life under the state Sexual Offender Registration and Notification Act. Of course she's out, it's 2020 now, so she's out, but because she can't teach, she actually has an Etsy store. I couldn't believe I found this, so she would have had to have found a new profession. And the stuff on there is actually quite cute, but I would never buy from a pedophile. So tomorrow I am going to hopefully bring you some updated news on the Theo Hayes case. Theo was a Belgian backpacker that went missing in Byron Bay, Australia last year. Now, there have been skeletal remains found in the vicinity of where his phone last pinged. So I'm going to spend my night looking over that and looking over the Taylor McAllister case and bring them to you. I am hoping to work through the weekend as well. There's a lot coming out at the moment and I'd like to keep you all up to date. So thank you so much for joining us.